be with you all. Well, this evening is going to go down as being the battle of the signups. Because in the last 10 minutes, we've had all kinds of activity there. People switching around and me trying to put people in where they already are. And so just to clarify, we have a second reader. Is that correct? You're two. And Jim, you're one. And Jeff Richard is administering the chalice. And thank you, Helen, for being on video. And Doreen is going to read the prayers this evening, and Jeff Richard as well is going to offer the reflection. So thank you all for your many contributions. We're going to use the Book of Alternative Services, and we're on page 185. And we'll begin with the Colic for Purity. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. And then over the page, on page 187, the Trisagion, will say that three times. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one, have mercy upon us. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one, have mercy upon us. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy immortal one, have mercy upon us. And as we remain standing, let us pray. Lord God, your Son, our Savior, gave his body to be whipped and turned his face for men to spit upon. Give your servants grace to accept suffering for his sake, confident of the glory that will be revealed through Jesus Christ our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we'll be seated for the first reading.
A reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me, who will declare me guilty. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And we'll continue seated for the psalm, Psalm 70, the congregational refrain that we'll use at the indicated places, O Lord, make haste to help me. Be pleased, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those who seek my life be ashamed and altogether dismayed. Let those who take pleasure in my misfortune draw back and be disgraced. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those who say to me, aha, and gloat over me turn back, because they are ashamed.
Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say forever, Great is the Lord. O Lord, make haste to help me. But as for me, I am poor and needy. Come to me speedily, O God. You are my helper and my deliverer. O Lord, do not tarry. O Lord, make haste to help me.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. The word of the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
With you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus was troubled in spirit and declared, Very truly I tell you, one of you will betray me. The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he was speaking. One of his disciples, the one whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So while reclining next to Jesus, he asked him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, It is the one to whom I give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish. So when he had dipped the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. After he received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, Do quickly what you are going to do. Now, no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the common purse, Jesus was telling him, Buy what we need for the festival, or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the piece of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. When he had gone out, Jesus said, Now the Son of Man has been glorified. And God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. The Gospel of Christ. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So when asked if I would write about what the death of Jesus on the cross meant to me, I was left thinking about what an overwhelming thought process that could be. We all here have our faith, but do we on a daily basis sit down and think about what the most important part of our spirituality means to us? Thought about the cutesy things that we see in Christian bookstores, like the bracelets that say WWJD or the shirts that say Jesus beat the devil with two sticks, or the Jesus fish, and all the outward things that we can think of. Even in the church, we see the representations of our faith with the altar, the depictions of the stained glass, the grandeur of it all. But none of that can really get at the basis of what the cross means to me personally and fully. I'm brought to mind of a story of this guy that goes up to Jesus and he asks, "Jesus, how much do you love me? This much?" And he shows about an inch with his thumb and finger, and Jesus answers, "No, bigger." Then the guy asks again, "So Jesus, do you love me this much?" And he holds up his hands about a foot apart, and Jesus replies, "No, bigger." The guy just really wanted to know how much Jesus loved him. So he said, "Then Jesus, how much do you love me?" And Jesus said, "This much." And he stretched out his arms and he died. Now, to make that story important to me is that I am the guy that's asking Jesus how much he loves me. Jesus didn't suffer on the cross for humanity back then. And he went to his death. He looked into the future and he saw me. He saw us. And the tears that he shed and the anguish he felt was out of love, in that by his stripes and his death and resurrection, we would not have to die, but would live in him and be close to him for all of eternity. I'm not a parent right now, but those of you who are can probably relate. Can you imagine what it feels like to see your child that you love so much do something self-destructive, and although they know better, they just can't seem to help themselves? Now imagine Jesus knowing each of us by name, even before we were born, and seeing all the things we would do to hurt ourselves and to others, and how we would seem so distant from God at times. Imagine the deep pain in his heart because of the love he has for us, as he sees not just one person, but all of humanity for all existence, and the sin that would try to pull us away from the love of God. The scourging, the mocking, the crown of thorns, and Jesus having to carry his own heavy cross were infinitely insignificant compared to the weight of the whole of his children then and yet to come, resting on his shoulders. Jesus could have stopped what was going to happen to him, but he remained faithful and suffered and died on the cross so that we wouldn't have to. So that starts to get a bit more close to the meaning of the cross. It isn't something like a warm, fuzzy feeling or a catchy t-shirt slogan. It's profound. It's the love of the Father for his children. I am a child of God. And what a wonderful thing that is, to be an adopted son or daughter of a king. Now with that comes some responsibility on my part in how I respond to that powerful thing. It's a journey, and that journey this week, I think of Maundy Thursday and the practice of stripping the altar and having a prayer watch, where, like the disciples, we wait and pray with the Lord, in knowing that it was at this time that Jesus was in anguish over what was to come and was waiting to be arrested. A couple of things I was thinking about when I was looking at that night was how easy it was for the disciples to fall asleep. And when Jesus came back from praying, he could hardly believe that they weren't even able to stay up with him. And I think of how easy it can be at times for me to fall asleep and fail to see the work that Jesus is doing in my life. I also look at that night and see that Jesus wanted them near and wanted them to watch and pray with him. And if I flip it around, Jesus is with me, with us. And when we are going through our anguish, he watches with us and is there when we pray to comfort and hold us. But am I asleep and not awake enough to see that he's right there with me even in our times of trial? I think it's hard, and sometimes I am asleep and other times I am wide awake. But no matter what, Jesus is right there with an outstretched arm saying, "I love you this much," as he leans in to embrace me and wipe away my tears. I can't help but respond to that. Like the thief on the cross beside Jesus, I feel compelled to think his words. "Don't you even fear God when you are dying? We deserve to die for our evil deeds. But this man hasn't done one thing wrong." And like the thief, I say, "Jesus, Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And my heart and my soul can be at peace to hear Jesus reply, today you will be with me in paradise. This is a solemn promise.
Thank you, Jeff. Doreen's going to lead us in the prayers, and as we pray, we'll stand.
Let us pray to the Father, who loved the world so much that he sent his only Son to give us life, responding to, Lord, hear us, with, Lord, graciously hear us. Simon from Cyrene was forced to carry the cross for your Son. Give us grace to lift heavy loads from those we meet and to stand with those condemned to die. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Your Son watched the soldiers gamble to share his clothes, transform the hearts of those who make a profit from their victims, and those whose hearts are hardened by their work. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. The thief who was crucified with Jesus was promised a place in your kingdom. Give pardon and hope, healing and peace to all who look death in the face. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. From the cross, Jesus entrusted Mary, his mother, and John, his disciple, to each other's care. Help us also to care for one another and fill our homes with the spirit of your love. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. In Mary and John, your Son created a new family at the cross. Fill our relationships and those of new families today with mutual care and responsibility, and give us a secure hope for the future. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. The centurion was astonished to see your glory in the crucified Messiah. Open the eyes of those who do not know you to see in your Son the meaning of life and death. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Simon and Joseph, Mary and John became part of your church in Jerusalem. Bring into your church today a varied company of people to walk with Christ in the way of his passion and to find their salvation in the victory of his cross. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. We remember in our cycles of prayer the parish of Colebrook and St. Mary, Canon Greg McMullen, and Canon Wally Corey, and priest Anne Fairweather. Honorary assistants, Canon Benjamin Burry, retired priest, the Diocese of Hull, the Anglican Church in Korea, and all who minister throughout the world. Lord, hear us. Lord, graciously hear us. Lord of the Church, hear our prayer, and make us one in heart and mind to serve you in Christ our Lord. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite in mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites them to his table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you. You're welcome to be seated during the preparation of the gifts. The great thanksgiving will be in the form of Eucharistic Prayer 2 on page 196. As we stand, let us pray. God of glory, may our worship this day fix the eyes of our faith on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our new humanity, who is seated at the right hand of your throne, now and forever. Amen. And page 196, you're encouraged to remain standing. If you need to be seated or you'd rather kneel, you're welcome to do so. The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to our Lord God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
We give you thanks and praise, Almighty God, through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Redeemer. He is your living Word, through whom you have created all things. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh of the Virgin Mary and shared our human nature. He lived and died as one of us to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. In fulfillment of your will, he stretched out his hands in suffering to bring release to those who place their hope in you, and so he won for you a holy people. He chose to bear our griefs and sorrows and to give up his life on the cross that he might shatter the chains of evil and death and banish the darkness of sin and despair. By his resurrection, he brings us into the light of your presence. Now, with all creation, we raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious God, accept our praise through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, took bread and gave you thanks, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This is my blood, which is shed for you. When you do this, you do it in memory of me." Remembering, therefore, his death and resurrection, we offer you this bread and this cup, giving thanks that you have made us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. We ask you to send your Holy Spirit upon the offering of your Holy Church. Gather into one all who share in these sacred mysteries, filling them with the Holy Spirit and confirming their faith in the truth, that together we may praise you and give you glory through your servant, Jesus Christ. All glory and honor are yours, Father and Son, with the Holy Spirit, in the Holy Church, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread. Let your church be the wheat which bears its fruit in dying. If we have died with him, we shall live with him. If we hold firm, we shall reign with him. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As we stand, let us pray. Glory to God, our help. Your Son was betrayed by one who called himself a friend. May we who call him Lord ever remain his faithful people, for he lives and reigns with you now and forever. Amen. Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the Church and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.